This is File 70. I am interviewing Mary Ellen Baldwin, who's going to talk about Noble Horizon, her time working there as various positions, her Y2K project on the residents of Noble, and anything else she happens to think about. What is your full name?
Mary Ellen Baldwin.
And your birth date, please.
3/10/46.
Your birthplace?
Rockville Center, Long Island, New York.
And your parents' names?
Mary Catherine O'Donnell Winters, Francis James Winters.
And did you have siblings?
I'm one of six, four boys and two girls.
Their names?
Paul is the oldest. I'm at the second oldest. Robert is the third. Kathy, Kathleen, Peter Carey, and the baby is Timothy.
You had a wonderful story of how you came to Lakeville through your husband's connection. Please tell me that.
Okay. My husband's father, James Baldwin, was a banker for Mac Chamberlain, who at that time was running the Wake Robin Inn in Lakeville. He was doing some work in Florida, so my father-in-law, Jim Baldwin, was helping him financially figure it all out. And my husband would come up here to the Wake Robin when he was a boy, and he remembers at age seven saying, "I'm going to live here someday." They loved to go out to the Rock Island out there in the lake, and they called it their Treasure Island. So when we were married, he kept telling me we were going to move here, but I had always lived on Long Island. I wasn't going anywhere. Yeah, here we are.
Silly you.
Silly me. Oh. So he did find a job in Hopewell Junction, New York, so we could live here in Lakeville.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was. I wouldn't go back at all.
Oh, lovely.
At that time, I wasn't sure, though.
it's a big change.
Oh, yeah. There was no television for the kids. How could we watch Sesame Street?
Oh, my. And what's your educational background?
I'm a registered nurse. I went to St. Vincent's School of Nursing in New York City.
And an RN?
Correct.
Okay. When did you start working at Noble?
When we first moved here in 75, I started at Noble probably 76 or 77. I can't remember. Probably 76. I was pregnant with my daughter, and they needed a private duty nurse for one of their residents. Mm-hmm. So I was asked by Betty Thompson, my neighbor, my neighbor still, if I would be interested in helping do that. So I took that on part-time. Mm-hmm. And then after my daughter Erin was born in 77, they needed a nurse to work evening shift 4 hours. So I worked on a Friday evening for 4 hours. And then slowly but surely, they hooked me in more and more.
Perfect.
Yes.
Are you still there?
I'm still there very part-time, doing some odd jobs. I retired, quote-unquote, and then I came back, so
You flunked retirement.
I flunked retirement, mm-hmm. And I just can't separate from them anyway. I need to go in and touch everybody and say hello and be there. So I assist the dentist who comes in once a month. So I do activities with her, and then I help in other areas that they need help in.
Do you work with the residents in Wagner and Riga?
Correct.
As well as the cottagers?
No, the cottagers, if there's an emergency and they need to see the dentist, they can come in. Otherwise, they are capable. They're independent, so they go to the doctor appointments themselves. Except that Noble does have a transport system, so if they need help, they can have that. But otherwise, the cottagers are independent.
You became a supervisor at one
time. Correct, yes. I retired as one of the supervisors.
When did you technically retire?
Technically retired, oh, wow, that's a good question. This will be the third summer. Probably 3 years ago.
Okay,
I retired to buy a business.
Yeah.
And to take care of grandbabies.
Yes.
So I still have the business, I still have the grandbabies, and I still work
at Noble. What was the business?
We bought the Caddyshack up in Canaan, which is mini golf and
yes.
a restaurant. So my husband and I and my daughter Erin and her husband We bought that. This will be coming up. This will be our third summer.
Wonderful.
So we retired to buy a business. Isn't that why you retired?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I make a mean chocolate shake.
I'll bet you do.
Yes,
I'll bet you do.
I don't do the cooking, but I do wait on the windows, and my husband helps do the mini golf, batting cages,
perfect,
arcade. We have a pavilion.
Yep.
Publicity plug.
That's all right. I can go for that. When you were working at Noble, what were some of your duties?
Some of my duties were, as a supervisor, we helped take care of the cobble and cottagers with their needs, mm-hmm, and then overseeing each unit in the main building.
Now, the cobble's function has changed. When Foster was there for a week to give me a break, it was individual rooms for rehab or a mini break. Now it's more of a hotel situation?
Well, I always said the cobble was the cottage, the college building, where you have your own unit with your own room with a full bathroom, showers, and whatever. And then it was a combined living room, dining room, kitchen, library, and activity room. And then, so that, and you could own a car. Some were there 6 months, some were there 2 months, some were there all the time. And you could come and go as you wanted. It has expanded now. There's a clubhouse.
Oh.
With a full bar. It's okay. Beautiful. With a gas fireplace that mm-hmm. Parati's donated. There are units now that have a living room, kitchen, efficiency type, bathroom, bedroom, full unit, so you can cook your own meals if you want. And then, excuse me, there are still the single bedroom units.
Ah, wonderful.
But you can always come and go. And now, as an addition, is the outpatient rehab center, which was built in the corner of the cobble. Mm-hmm. So some of those rooms were taken away, and now it's a rehab unit.
Wonderful.
You know that.
they keep adding functions.
Oh, there's something going
on. One of the things that I really was impressed with Eileen Mulligan is the community outreach so much. So that it's a focal part of the community in a lot of ways, and people go there without feeling inhibited or intimidated, which
is great.
A lot
of people go in there. Berkshire Taconic has the Learning Center, we call it, mm-hmm. has programs constantly. Mm-hmm. And some of them are given by the residents. Mr. Julian is a beautiful musician.
Oh, yes.
And Barbara Hesse has mm-hmm. great stories and mm-hmm. history, very knowledgeable woman. She gives talks, mm-hmm. and then there are other programs offered, and a lot of people from the community come into that.
Yes, I've been to some of the Taconic Learning Center programs that have been
mm-hmm.
there,
mm-hmm.
which
and
is
of course
wonderful.
They have a great gift shop.
Oh, yes.
And Carolyn Birchfield constantly has something going on.
Oh, yes. Yes.
In the community center or the Taconic Learning Center.
There's usually Saturday lectures or activities that she provides, which is great.
And there's a volunteer program that is unbelievable. Pet programs.
Mm-hmm.
And
pet therapy?
Pet therapy, it's called, correct.
Okay.
And the auxiliary are great. They do a lot of functions. Donate
yeah.
to them, as you talked to Mary Barton.
I did Mary Barton about that.
Mm-hmm. And
it's a great community.
It's a great community, and your neighbor Janet Neary, her granddaughter Josie, has fallen in love with the building itself, the residence, I should say, but has zeroed in on one woman, and
oh,
she visits her every Saturday morning.
Oh, perfect.
And she plays the piano with her. Josie has taken a piano lesson, so
great.
She plays with her and visits her. But all the other residents around
sure.
want her, reach
oh, yeah.
out to her.
Yeah.
So she visits many of them. And
oh, that's perfect.
She absolutely loves it. Nine-year-old
Wonderful.
Little girl, and she absolutely loves it. I highly
recommend
it. So
a lot of grandparents
it.
That she's
yes.
acquired.
Yes, great-grandparents.
Oh, yeah,
some of them.
But that's fine, because mm-hmm. you need the relationship and the interrelationship of the generations.
Oh, yes. And just the knowledge that from this nine-year-old that a 94-year-old person is a person.
Yes.
It's not yeah. an old, grumpy old lady that you hear about.
Yeah, yeah, that's wonderful.
And she puts a smile on this woman's face. It's great.
Good.
All right.
Other memories?
Oh, the memories. There's so many memories. I just loved every person that I ever took care of, and that's why I loved it and stayed there for 30-some-odd years. You can learn so much from the elderly. And I can remember when I first went there, and there were a husband and wife team there, and she would always be a little crabby, and I'd say, oh, she's just like a three-year-old. and somebody said to me years ago, you never say that. And I learned so quickly, you never say that, because we all have our grumpy times, and we all have our baby times, but they're human beings. They had a life, and no matter who they are then, we accepted them for who they were then, mm-hmm. not caring about how they were before. Right. And they were just wonderful. And a family member said that to me, I lost my mother to Noble. And I said, but we gained your mother at Noble, and she became our person. And we learned to love her no matter what dementia she was in, what illness she had, or what crotchety old way she created for herself. And that's what it is at Noble. You learn to love these people at a different level in a different space that they're in right near and now.
And that leads me to your Y2K project. Tell me about that.
Well, when it was going to be the turn of the century, I said, geez, all these people that we know, who they are now, what were they and who were they back then? So I just decided to interview as many as I could in the building about their memories of their 100 years, because a lot of them mm-hmm. had those memories way back to the beginning. So I just interviewed and asked them if they could not remember a lot. I'd ask for one memory. Mm-hmm. So they would give me one memory. Some of them talked forever, and it was so much fun to go back. And I learned so much. Mm-hmm. I learned so much about the cabs that they used to take and the shows they used to see and the places they lived in, who they were, where they were, and how they came to Noble. And a lot of them just brought smiles back and the gleam in their eye. You know, they can't remember what their name is today, but boy, they sure can remember what happened when they were 12 or 13 back then.
And that's so important mm-hmm. because it validates them in that moment.
It sure does.
And that's so important.
And it's amazing how they can remember. And you put on a Frank Sinatra record, they're all there tapping their feet, dancing if they can, and singing the songs.
Sure.
But luckily, they don't know the rock and roll of today. I shouldn't say the rock and roll because that's a fun thing. The rock of today. You know, my grandmother's hair would be curled for sure if she ever heard some of this music today.
I don't know that we'd call it music.
No.
But
no,
anyway.
The blasts.
Yeah.
But the kids today do. So.
Besides Noble, what are some of the civic things that you've done for the community, either through your church or other activities?
Well, I was on the Extras board. I was President Steve Victory, and I helped with that, Dick Tabor, back in the beginning days. Mm-hmm. My kids went there. That's one of the ways I could go and work an evening shift before my husband came home. Mm-hmm. So they would go to Extras, or I had a babysitter. Then my daughter was director at Extras, so it was a positive way that I could help there. At church, I was on many of the parish councils mm-hmm. and boards there.
And the church is?
St. Mary's okay. in Lakeville. excuse me, under Father Forte.
Yep.
And what else? Just taking care of my grandkids and
Jane Lloyd Fund?
Yes, I help with the lobster clam bake every year and the Relay for Life. I'm a walker there, and we had a team this year in hope of a good, clear a report on a good friend of mine. So we were called Dean's Dollies, and we had red boas around our neck, and we walked for him. And I've walked, I mean, 7.5 year cancer survivor, so I walk every year with the Relay for Life.
Wonderful.
My daughter and I are in charge of desserts for the Jane Lloyd Lobster Clam Bake.
And which daughter?
Megan. But all of them contribute. And all right, what else have I talked about?
CNA and palliative care.
Oh yeah, the palliative care at Noble. That I was part of starting that. As I always say, nobody should be alone in their final moments. And palliative care is really pre-hospice days now, so that when we first did it, it was hospice time. Mm-hmm. But now that we do have an active hospice program in town, it's pre there. But it's just zeroing in on that person, the needs they have. Some family members, they do get involved. Do they want to have them hospitalized? When you see that there's definitely a decline and it's going in a certain direction, how do they want to take care of it? What support do we give those residents at that time? Many residents don't have people visit at all or very seldom. So therefore, they need to have one-on-one or zeroing in. At Noble, they do. Everybody's out of their room. Nobody stays in bed. Nobody becomes a loner. But, you know, when people are at the point where they're in their declining days and they don't need to be in the congestion of a room, they actually have a quiet room there where they can go in and there's music and there's soft feeling there. Otherwise, we create that in their room so that they're not agitated and they need to be on
a very soothing atmosphere.
Yes, exactly. So the palliative care is bringing all the disciplines together and zeroing in on that person and their needs at that time. And now we have hospice where we can have the community come in, the VNA, and volunteers come in and sit with people. But we wanted to make sure that there was always somebody with somebody.
And it's a wonderful program.
Yes, it is. It is. We have a actual box. We've had families come in that wanted to be with their loved ones, my father included, where we had a weekend of people just bunking down. And I've had families come in. They were out in the hallway. So we finally said, hey, we have to find places for these people. So we have a cart that actually has toiletries if they need to shower, slippers. We can have them blankets, bathrobes, so we can have them stay in a alcove or in a, we have many activity rooms now where they could actually rest themselves so that they can be with their loved one. And then there's DVD players or music boxes of whatever, and discs, CDs, so that we can play that music from Frank Sinatra to Beethoven to whatever it is that that person zeroes in on.
Wonderful. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add to this interview?
Just that I just loved working with the staff and the residents, the CNA, when you said before the CNAs, they are wonderful. There are some there that were there or came right after I started, and they're just so devoted. It's very difficult position. You can very easily get frustrated or get tired of it, but they know when that point comes, they regroup, they take over, and they're just so wonderful, the CNAs, the care that they can give.
What is a CNA?
Oh, Certified Nursing Assistant. Okay. So you have the nurse who is doing the nursing jobs, the medication, the dressing procedures, but the CNA are the ones that give the hands-on. They're the ones that dress and toilet and bathe and console residents on a daily 8-hour basis.
How wonderful.
It is. It's a very big job, and they are wonderful. And with these people, I would go forever taking care of the elderly because they are a wonderful,
wonderful
generation.
Group.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this interview. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
What was that?